Well, good morning. Well, I first would like to just say thank you for a generous gift that many of you have given to our family. A tremendous blessing, and I don't know who all gave, but I just want to say thank you. The message I have to share this morning has been a burden of mine for maybe 12 years. And the past few months, it just seems like it's just constantly in my mind, comes quite often. And there are times I dwell on it and ponder, and there are times that I say, not now, I can't. Now it's not the time for that. And I've been going through the book of John as a discipline for myself. I felt like it's finally time. Maybe I felt a burden for the church and just went back to saying, Lord, what do you have for the church? And maybe we'll go back into the book of John again. I still love expository preaching and love to grow in that, but I did not feel like that was right this Sunday. So here I am. I would like to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians and read chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5 has often impressed me as a chapter of purpose. Just look at what the Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians here. All the action words, all those words of putting aside feelings and pressing on something different. Just notice as we read this entire chapter. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I'm going to write the title of the message today on the board here. I can stop shaking. And for a subtitle, it's going to bother me if I leave it there. be consistent. Okay, there it is. I didn't put it on the board earlier, even though I was tempted to, because I did not want you to draw your own conclusions. I want to guide you in these questions. All right, what's wrong with it? The problem with human reason. We'll get to that other part later. Brothers and sisters, that question is asked a lot, and I'm afraid more often than not, it's asked in the wrong way. What's wrong with it? You know, there's many things in life that really there's not much wrong with it. But what are we coming at? Where are we coming from? What convictions do we have for what we do and why we do it? Have we ever even thought about that before? I hope so. I pray so. God forbid if we haven't. What force is compelling us to make the choices we make? Is there a force? Really? No, I just kind of do what I feel like doing, right? No, I don't think anything we do is just happenstance. Just, I don't know, just walking along and all of a sudden, bam, this calf came out of the fire. So we started worshiping it because we didn't know what else to do. That's ridiculous. No, things persuade us and move us in a direction. It can be our authorities, and we act in rebellion or in submission. It can be friends, peer pressure. It can be videos. It can be books. It can be music. It can be the Holy Spirit. It can be the Bible. It could be a sermon. It could be many things. But things move us in a direction. There's constantly stuff coming into our mind that we're processing. And by it comes out in some sort of fruit. We may not know where it came from or why we do it, but there's a reason why today we believe what we believe, we do what we do, we like what we like. I am amazed that children in the village where I was at in Ghana, Africa, would eat things that I thought were pretty spicy. And my children, when they eat something that's just a little bit spicy, spicy. And I thought, what? That doesn't make any sense. Well, guess what? What we're around, what influences us, makes us like things and dislike things. Sometimes that's fine. Sometimes it's not fun, but it's something we must stop and consider. By the way, I'm going to say those words a lot today. Stop and consider. You know, when we stop at a railroad sign, they used to always say, you know, stop, look, listen. Well, in life, we need to do the same thing. Stop, look, listen. Are we even responsible for the choices we make? I believe so. God, Jesus said that we're going to give account for every word that's spoken. Some of the choices we make doesn't make a difference. Last night, we were at some friend's house for supper, and they had three kinds of ice cream. So I had a little bit of two of them. I decided not to get the third. Does it make any difference? No. Some things in life, though, do, and it matters. So we need to stop and consider. Do our choices make an impact? Yes. Often, more often than I think we even realize, the choices we make don't just impact our life, but they impact others. Because while we are being influenced, we are also influencing others. Isn't that amazing? In many ways, this is a good thing. In a strong church, that's a vibrant church where people love the Lord and are pursuing after godly things, that's a hallelujah time. That's a good thing. But when it's not, Scripture is not written in vain that evil communication corrupts good manners. Too many people think, well, my good communications are going to help his evil communication. It doesn't work that way. That's not what the Bible says. Here's the problem. Even though, if we take the time to stop and realize, this is myself, totally myself, and I just shrink before you all and say, God, help me. I know things too often, and I still badly want and sometimes choose to do the thing I know I shouldn't. Isn't that crazy? That doesn't make any sense. Not at all. We know the Bible says this. We know that good will come out of it. And yet we still, I just feel like doing a bad thing anyway. I'm going to slap myself in the face and say, Joshua, what's wrong with you? Come on, eternity's at stake. But that power is so strong. How purposeful are we in what we do? In this chapter we just read, there's many things that Apostle Paul is telling the church. You know, guys, don't sleep. We're not of the night. We're of the day. You know, watch, be sober. Let's put on the breastplate of faith and love and helmet. Let's do this. Let's exhort the brethren. Don't render evil for evil unto any man. Ever follow that which is good. Okay. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. Quench not the Spirit. I want to get down to 21. 21, 22. Very key verses. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So we prove all things, right? So there's something in our life. We want to know, is this a good thing or is this a bad thing? Let's prove it. Let's test it by the Word of God. If we have questions, call Brother Melvin, Brother Manuel, or another brother and say, hey, you know, I would like to read this book or whatever. You know, this thing's influencing my life. I realize I'm listening to a lot of whatever. C.S. Lewis, is this something that you think is good? You know, let's try these things. Let's test it. And let's figure out, is this good? If it's good, if it stands by the fire of the Word of God, let's hold fast to it. But if there's an appearance of evil in this thing, let's just be done with it. It's not worth it. Let's kick it out. Abstain from it. Just get it away from it. How many decisions do we make are made without counsel of the Scriptures, without counsel of godly men and women, without godly principles in place? We just kind of do things. And again, some things are perfectly fine, but too often we make big changes and even small decisions in life that lead to big things without any thought. If you want to see where the world's going, just open your eyes. You can see what's happening. People aren't thinking about what they're doing. They're certainly not going by biblical principles. We need to stop and consider, where are we going? Where are we headed? Do we remember that we're called to be a holy people, a people that's set apart to God, not set apart for our own? You know, I remember my growing up, I kind of had this idea, you know, Jesus died for me, and now that my sins are forgiven, I can just kind of live. You know, everything is great and grand now. Life's ahead of me, and I can just do what I want. And no, we're saved because Jesus died for us, and now we are His people. If you will, a more literal translation of a servant of Jesus Christ, we are His slaves. He has bought us with the precious price of His own blood, His own life He gave for us. We are His bondservant. I don't know about you all, but when I gave my life to the Lord, I committed to follow Him. And I trust each one of you prayed the same thing. Lord, I give myself to You. What does that mean? How does it apply to our lives today? How many, you know, if we've given ourselves to the Lord, how strongly does His Word guide our decisions and what we say for life? You know, too often I feel like we just say, well, what's wrong with it? You know, the Bible doesn't really say you shouldn't do this or that. It doesn't say I got to listen to a certain kind of music, so I'm just going to do what I feel like doing. That feels good to me and makes me feel happy. Maybe it's okay. Maybe not, right? But are we going through channels that God's given us? You know, are we going through our authorities? Are we going through the Word of God? Do we even have a principle for what we do and why we do it? Again, we're going to get to this other question here pretty soon. Here's the problem. We are prone to make bad decisions. At least I am. It takes the purpose to set a course and go with it. You know that song, Row, Row, Row Your Boat? I was going to look at this other version of it. You know, gently down the stream, merrily, merrily, life's but a dream. You just kind of go along with the flow. Everything's just fine and rosy. No. Christian life is about rowing upstream. That takes purpose. I remember some years ago, I went on a 13-mile kayak trip with some friends, and it was a great time. But there's sometimes we decide to go upstream into this branch or whatever. And an interesting thing is, when you stop paddling, you don't just kind of coast forward still. All the momentum you have is gone, and it takes a while to get it back going. It takes effort. And once you're gone, if you feel a little tired, it's just easier just to keep going. Because if you stop and rest and have to regain ground, you just burn that many extra calories. And that's the way it is in life. This world is going downhill. If for no other reason, believe it, because the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation say so. Okay? So if you think this is all going to end well, sorry, it's wrong. And we're going to end up in the same place if we are not purposeful. God has called us to be a purposeful people. And it needs to show in our life. You know, I met a man at Walmart. We were just leaving the store, and he said, "Hey, can you come here?" And I thought, "Oh no." Got my receipt out. He said, "Oh no, 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 no about that." He said, "I just want to talk to you just for a couple minutes." And okay. And he said, "I just want to say I really appreciate you people." He said, "Just the other night, I had a young lady here, had a head covering on, and I asked her, why do you wear that? And she gave me scripture," he said. "I wish there were more people like you." Yeah, she had an answer. She had a purpose. She didn't just say, "Well, my church says I need to, and my dad says I need to. We're just following this ancient tradition from years ago." And no, she had an answer from the Bible, and he appreciated that. He was very blessed. And whoever that person was, God bless you. I wish all of us could have a reason for what we do and why we do it. It's the purpose of this message. We're prone to make bad decisions. And guess what? We are naturally lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. So if we're going to follow our feelings, unless you're an abnormal person, we don't naturally love God and the things of God. That takes years of purposeful living. We do, I think we definitely, as our nature turns into the nature of Christ and we have the mind of Christ, we become lovers of God more than lovers of this world. But until we are sanctified, we still need to realize that our natural tendency is to love pleasure more than love God. You know, what we see in front of us is what we want now. To hold to the promises of God, it takes commitment, it takes effort to say, you know what? This apple or whatever Eve had in front of her was a temptation, but her, you know, that looked good, it looked delicious, she just wanted it. But she just held on to the promises of God, which were yet unseen. I think she could have, it would just be a totally different story. But it was right there. That's what she wanted. And that's what she took. And we know the rest of the story. Here's another interesting thing. I'm not preaching about standards this morning, okay? But I do want to mention something. Okay, so just please be, and you all know me already, okay, so but whatever. Our flesh hates being bound no matter what setting you are in, okay? You know, so Mennonite who has to wear suspenders, doesn't understand it, he hates it, there's no good reason we're having suspenders on. Belts keep your pants up, fine, and if you wear, you know, you don't even need a belt, the trousers hold up by themselves. Ladies, you know, can't believe, can't have printed fabric, it has to be solid. And in the world, you know, curfews. My dad needs me back at 10 o'clock. I can't drink until I'm 21. I had a friend who chafed because his parents wouldn't let him watch anything beyond PG-13. For you who know anything about ratings. But, you know, no matter what's going on, our flesh hates being bound. We want unlimited freedom to do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want, just please it, just more, more, more. And so for us to put guidelines in our life, again, I'm not talking about church, I'm just saying for our own convictions, why do I do this? What compels me to do this? What causes me? For us just to say, you know what? I'm going to be purposeful in how I dress. I'm going to be purposeful in what I listen to. I'm going to be purposeful in what I drive. And people will come to different places. I understand that fully. There will be those who can eat meat sacrificed to idol and not defile their conscience, and there are those who can't. There's going to be some freedom there. But can we at least have a principle within that we say, you know what? I think God is calling me to do this. Our choices lead us in a direction. That's why it's so important. You know, one choice may not be a bad decision to make. I'm going to give you some examples, three true examples, not in this church, not in this state. I'm not going to say names, but I can give you more. But for those, and I'm sure many of you have seen this, so it's nothing new. But especially for us younger people, I think we need to hear, because we don't see as much ourselves. Our life is kind of short. We haven't seen fruit born from seeds planted years ago. But I know a young man who started having, you know, taking a gun in his vehicle. He thought, well, if I ever hit a deer, I'm going to want to, you know, if it, still struggling, I'm going to feel bad, you know, if it's there, and I'm not going to be able to kill it. So I'll start killing a 9mm, carrying one, and, you know, take care of it. And before long, he's carrying it all the time. And now his excuse is, well, you know, if there's a bad person around, I'm going to take him out. Now, I know he used to not believe that way, but I believe things started progressing, and whether he started taking a gun with him in the car because ultimately he felt like he was going to go that direction, I don't know. But that's where he ended up. I know a young man who grew up in a conservative home who would secretly listen to country music. Now, what's wrong with a lot of country music? Country music is not something I have ever appreciated, so I don't know like any country music songs. But I know that people have told me not everything, every country music is, not every song is bad. I just would personally stay away from it all. But he felt like he could pick through the good and the bad, and it was interesting. Eventually, he grew out his sideburns, and he wore cowboy boots. Now, he didn't ride horses. I realized cowboy boots were designed to fit well in the stirrups, but, you know, what's wrong with wearing cowboy boots? They're good, solid leather footwear, right? I guess there's really nothing wrong with it. Eventually, he got a big jacked-up truck with big tires. What's wrong with that? It can be useful in certain situations. Okay. Eventually, got a girlfriend, and sadly, through the course of events, she got pregnant, and this guy now is last I heard, he's big into drugs, alcohol. It's a bad situation. He got married, divorced, and it's last I heard from him, he said, "Josh, I want to be a Christian, but not like you." I don't know all what he meant by that, but I feel like I know a little bit, and I feel like all these things that he made, all these decisions, just led him in a direction. Now, was the country music the start of it all? Maybe some. I believe it was a huge influence. But things just led him in a direction. You know, as he just kept going on, what's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? Eventually, he ended up at a place that I know for a fact that maybe 5-8 years before that, he would have been horrified if I'd have said, "Young man," which he's the same age as me, he's a couple years younger, "this is where you're going to end up." I think he would have laughed at me and said, "No way, that's ridiculous." But he's there today. I'm afraid too many of us may end up in the same place if we're not purposeful. One more. We were part of a church in Kentucky, not congregation I was part of, a different one. And we had just left the Baptist church, and we're going here. And we're very blessed by it. You know, my parents were, my mom and sisters were covering, and we had never been to a church that covered before. So it was a blessing to finally be in a church that did cover and had more or less the same convictions as we did. This church was almost entirely ex-New Order Amish. And we just really had a good time of fellowshipping. In a couple years, we had some of the stronger families saying, "You know, we really, you know, we don't like all those man-made rules that we had in the church back, you know, in the Amish church, and we think that wearing a head covering all the time was just a man-made rule. Seems like Scripture says, you know, Sundays during worship services." Some of the ladies started wearing them for Sunday, for just Sunday. And the guys were like, "Black trousers, white shirts, man's rules. Let's wear t-shirts and jeans, you know, t-shirts, jeans to church. There's no reason." I mean, they went from, you know, to polo shirts first and then t-shirts. And, I mean, what's really wrong with that? You know, if it's a loose shirt, it's modest enough, it's fine. And same time, some of the ladies... So this is over the course of about a year, this all happened. Some people are like, "Well, the covering is just the hair. So the head covering came off and hair, well, long hair is kind of a nuisance. So as long as it's still longer than the man's, you know, we're good. So probably just below the shoulder." Some of the women cut their hair just below the shoulder. And wedding rings. That was a man-made rule not to. And the world sees that, you know, if you're married, you should wear a ring. So rings came on. And movies. Oh, there's a good movie. You know, these movies, and they, all of a sudden, people, different people got TV, and we're watching some DVDs. Again, what's wrong with a few good DVDs, right? So watch DVDs. Some people are like, "You know, there's some good channels out there. I've heard our neighbors say there's some good channels. We can watch just the news. And so some of the people got cable. Now, about this time, we left, okay? It was a radically different church. We're like, "Wait a minute. This is no different than the church we just left. Okay, except we're still singing a cappella in the service." And that church is gone now. Actually, it fell completely apart in about another year after we left. Nobody wore head coverings anymore, except for the pastor's wife. They're basically the last ones that held on. But, I mean, there's just no difference. And the question we hear all the time is, what's wrong with it? There's not really anything wrong with it. Yeah? What's really wrong with it? I could see different angles. Okay, maybe that makes sense. All these things, they lead us in a direction. And brothers and sisters, I haven't been here very long, so I feel a little sketchy saying this. Think about 20 years ago, where all of us were. Where were we? What were our convictions then? What about 15 years ago? Did they change between 20 and 15 years? What about the next, then 10 years ago, from 15 to 10? So 20 to 10, 20, 15 to 10. What changed in our life? Was it good? Was it bad? Were we thinking through it? What about 5 years ago? Where are we from 5 years? You know, if we had looked back 20 years ago and saw what we would be 5 years ago, would we have made different choices? And I realized that none of us know the future, so maybe some ways we would have done things differently, and God is gracious, and He'll forgive us and give us another chance. But what about today? What convictions do we have or not have today that we did have 10, 15, 20 years ago? Has it really changed? To be honest, I feel like our church has made some pretty big changes in the past 10 years especially. Again, I've only been here for not even 3 years. But when I look at pictures, I realize, there's some change in apparel, change in head coverings. Can't say it's all necessarily wrong, but there's some things going on here. Are these thought through decisions? And again, I'm not talking about necessarily just a church level, but each family, each individual. Are we thinking through what we do? That's all I'm trying to say today. Are we stopping to consider what we're doing and why we're doing it? And if we're headed in this direction, you know, when a trajectory gets shot off, it normally goes still in the direction it went. Now, the wind and all, you could play with it some. But as we keep making decisions in a direction, and it ultimately will keep leading us somewhere, we need to just be mindful. And this message, I have a hard time sharing, partly because I struggle so much in my life. I have convictions, and yet my flesh, and you know, I want to have strong convictions against the whole world of entertainment. But my excuse is, you know, I grew up with movies, and sometimes I just feel like watching one. But that's ridiculous. Why? I don't want it. It's not helpful. It's not helpful to me anyway. It's not helping me to grow up to be a godly man. It's not giving me a greater hunger for the Lord. You know what happens instead? I watch an hour and a half movie, and then I want to go pray. I can't pray. All I think are scenes of that movie. You know, when I sleep, I'm just thinking about this and that, and I'm in this whole world of fakery. And sure, there's documentary, there's some good stuff out there. But I'm just saying, at least for myself, I wrestle with this so much. And when I wrestle, I'm such a feelings person that I just need the grace of God to just give me strength, say, Lord, help me. I want to love you only. I want to love you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I don't know how to all do that, but I want that. So I want to, you know, just stop myself and consider. All right, I know time's fast leaving. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4 and read some verses there. Four verses 13 through 27. If you're familiar with the book of Proverbs, you already know where I'm going. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. This isn't a thing that is just, you know, keep her because you'll be better blessed if you do this. Or you'll have an easier way to live. No, she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Go not in the way of evil men. Why do we entertain ourselves with ungodly men's activities? It's just a strange thing that we would love that. And I realize we still are human, and so that's our inclination. But God help us. How can we sit at the feet of Belial, basically, and enjoy ourselves if we're the chosen of God? Have mercy, Lord. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. I believe that as we, the just, are walking with the Lord's going to reveal more and more to us, and it's just going to become, as we, our relationship with Him grows and our love for Him grows, it's just going to shine more and more, and it's going to be beautiful. And it will end into in the perfect day. There's different ways of reading that verse, but I'll just take it that for now. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. I know some people, some young people especially, that they just keep stumbling. Like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's wrong with my life. And I want to ask him, have you stopped to consider that maybe you're in the, you're in darkness because you're not really following the Lord, not at least wholeheartedly? And sometimes the Lord, I believe, hides himself so that we can, in faith, follow him. But if we find ourselves floundering, stop, consider, what's going on? Am I living for the Lord? Is my heart perfect before him? Do I have holy hands? Do I have a pure heart? My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If there's things coming out of our life, you know, where is our heart? Are we keeping it with all diligence? Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Be purposeful in where you put your feet. And let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Wise words. And I think that if we follow the Lord in this, we can't go wrong. You know, I had a friend of mine told me years ago when I was in my mid-teens, Joshua, don't ever be scared to do too much for the Lord. He said, he does not think that when we stand before the Lord in judgment, the Lord's going to say, you know, Joshua, you're pretty hard on yourself. You know, you love me too much. You tried too much. You know, you were just too extreme. And you should have taken more time to just enjoy life and enjoy the pleasures that I gave you in that world. And I'm just sad that you didn't take the opportunity to, you know, enjoy all the pleasures you had before you. Rather, I feel like the Lord, in humor, may laugh and say, Joshua, and I'll bow my head, so I know, Lord. He's like, Joshua, you sure were overzealous at times. You know, but I love that heart. And I just laughed and I was like, that's my son down there. He doesn't know everything yet, but he's trying. And I think if we just give ourselves wholeheartedly to the Lord, blessing, only blessing will come from our life. All right, so what's right with it? I think if we can just stop and ask ourselves what's right with it instead of what's wrong with it, well, guess what? There's not a lot right with things either. You can almost ask that interchangeably. Well, what's wrong with whatever? What's right with it? Can we even say what's right with it? Well, maybe if we can't really say what's right with it, maybe we should just say no. Life has enough burdens. I don't need to add anything else. Well, I'm going to set my eyes straight before me and say, well, that's not for me. May the Lord guide us. God is faithful. I believe He will. He's for us.